champion to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Ooh.
Yeah!
There we go. Welcome back, everybody. It has been far, far too long. But yes. Here we are, AfterBuzz TV Game of Thrones After Show. My name is Kyle Maddock, and I have three lovely ladies with
Hello.
Me here tonight.
Hello,
I'm Kristen Elizabeth Snyder. You can follow me at Cinematic Escape.
Hi, guys. This is Sarah Stretton. Glad to be back.
And I am Autumn Chiklis. You can find me on Twitter at Autumn Chiklis. So happy to be back.
Nice.
And joining the Game of Thrones panel.
Yeah. Absolutely. Welcome back. You've been with us before.
Yes, but not officially on the panel, so I'm thrilled.
So fantastic. It's great to have you.
Thank you.
It's great to have you. And it's great to be back. You were able to survive the long break. Are you happy right now?
Oh my goodness. I feel like I'm one of those people who has just been starving for a very, very long time, and someone just gave me like fresh food, you know what I mean? Like, it's fresh oxygen once you're like starting to go under when you're drowning. It's that kind of thing. I am rejuvenated.
Nice.
Game of Thrones started like embedding itself in my mind in the past like month because where I would hear words that would sound similar to Game of Thrones words. I remember someone specifically saying "seek," and in my head I heard "reek."
reek. It rhymes with "seek."
It did not make sense. Like I just watched. Like actors popping up and like I'm like trying to focus on their name. Like Miss Sandy was just in Furious 7 now, and I was like,
she was.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Exactly. I thought she looked
familiar. And so I was like, wow, too much Game of Thrones on the brain. So glad to talk about it.
Nice. This episode's title was The Wars to Come,
yes.
And we're going to jump right into it. So let's do something we don't usually do with Game of Thrones. Let's go into a little flashback here. We're going to start in King's Landing. We're going to back in time to Cersei Lannister.
Who apparently has had the same hairstyle since the day she was born. at least since how old was she then? Probably like 10.
Yeah, 10.
12,
something like that.
I think that's the only way that Sarah guessed it was her, right? You were the first one that said, okay, it's Cersei.
I had a few reasons. One, hairstyle did not change
at all.
two, it works for her. Reasonable level of, like, cruelty, not changed.
Nope.
Three, you know, put the 12-year-old in the V-cut neckline. Even though it's not, like, the other little girl, you know, has her very demure, like, straight across. Yeah. Cersei just... Fully.
Yep.
Gotta have that.
She never knows when she's gonna run into her brother.
Exactly. I just was like mini me costumes. Straight off. I wanna know who the other girl is.
Right?
That was a little interesting, especially because they didn't mention her name.
Right.
So I was kind of like, no, it's Cersei. You left me with two wide open questions with our flashback. Who's this other girl? And why did we only get one question from Cersei when she's promised three?
Three.
Yeah.
Well, she did like follow-up questions.
Are you gonna stab
me? I know. What is this going on?
Oh, I didn't even notice.
Yeah, that's the
problem. I didn't get this. Whoa, where did this come from? Oh my god. Game of Thrones is here.
Just like, I'm ready to speak.
You know what? I just want to be prepared. I feel like I'm Arya right now. I'll put it away if you guys are nervous, but like, just be prepared.
You can just reenact the opening scene here with Cersei if you want.
Yes. There okay, we go. So Do we're going to cut my thumb.
There we go.
And then here we go.
Three questions.
Okay.
Three questions.
Okay, I want to know if Cersei is going to marry the king.
Here we go. She does ask. Does she ask only one question, or was it two questions?
She only asks. She says, I believe, am I going to marry the prince?
And she says no.
Is the main question that she asks.
Yep.
And then she, because all fortune tellers, when you ask them one question, give you a paragraph. Like, I felt like that was very atypical.
I was actually thinking about it, too. I'm like, does that count as two questions? Because then she said,
you're going to marry king.
Yeah, you're going to marry king. And then she asks, like, a mini question, but I will be queen. Yes.
Yes.
Does that count as a second one?
I think so. Yes. I think so. And then also it asks about the children. So that was three questions.
Gotcha. So there's like many questions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so cheap. I'd be so upset.
I would too. I'd be like, ah, you tricked me.
She needed Aladdin's genie who lays out the rules before it all happens. But this is a really strange sequence because they're just walking through the woods and they're obviously searching for this house because they know it's there. But there's just some evil, supposed to be ugly fortune teller in the woods.
A witch.
About this. A witch, yeah.
I want to know if that witch is still there. Because, she was sort of a younger witch, right?
Exactly.
Yep. So I feel like they're setting us up for an older witch to come into the picture.
You never really know, though, who's going to come back. I mean, we've got our pilot episode here of season 5. Everyone's so excited. It's not unheard of for them to bring people into pilot episodes that we've never seen. Like, they're just small. For instance, last season, when we have the opening, which was Tywin melting down Ned's sword.
Right, of course.
We have, the Valyrian Steelmaster, who's in the opening scene, technically. Mm-hmm. We never see from again. You look at the very first episode of this show, which is them running through the woods north of the wall. And we get people that we never really see again. I'm pretty sure that's because one of them died. But
all of them.
It's not unheard of for us to get a pilot episode with our first scene of characters we'll never see again.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I actually mentioned previously on Game of Thrones, they have segments from season 1,
oh, yeah.
2, 3. Because you have to kind of one. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen that actor in 2 years. Glad to see you again.
It's one of those shows, and it's very much similar to the books, where after you finish the show and you rewatch it, there's a very good chance you're going to enjoy the rewatch more than you'll enjoy the first viewing.
Because
there are all
more.
These old things that you don't remember that make it so much more exciting. And that's how it was for me with the books, and I feel like the show is going down that route.
Kyle, book reader.
Yes.
I started reading the books, and then everybody in the panel, when it first started, had read the books, and I'm like, I'm not going to read the books then. You guys have already got it.
That's right.
Nice job. Mm-hmm. And I can predict freely. So, guys, if I predict something, it's not because I've read the books. I have not read the books, so it's just my prediction. Don't listen to him. He's not going to predict.
It's actually getting into territory now where we don't know. The show is going to be new for us book readers, so it's getting to that gray area where I'm going to get the book spoiled for me, and I'm going to keep watching.
Yeah, I'm a read behind the show instead of read in front of the show. So I do like the books, but I'm still on the first, the first couple, because I don't want to pass anything. I also want the freedom to predict.
Yeah.
Adam, where are you at?
I have been told I would love the books, but I haven't. I went through a really kind of moral dilemma because I...
Don't we all?
Yeah, I know. I love this series, obviously. And I was so concerned that if I started reading the books, one, I would just blow through them because I have that tendency. And two, I wanted, because if I caught up, which would be my tendency, I wouldn't want to know. Like, as it is, anytime anything is spoiled for me, like Red Wedding was spoiled for me.
Ooh. No.
It was the worst day of my life, probably. Top three. And definitely. And I was miserable. So I feel like I just need that. I can't have spoilers.
Okay. No spoilers.
Well, we're not going to talk about them.
No.
If Kyle knows something that he read in the book, he's not going
to
say it.
No way. I don't want to do that to anybody.
Right.
So back to the show. What did you take from the scene? Why did we have this flashback? What do you think? What did you take
from
it?
Well, for me, it also sort of confirmed that Daenerys is going to come to the throne, in my mind, because, everything that she had said had come true, and then she talked about another queen coming to replace her who was much younger.
Right.
It's an open prediction, though, because, yes, they talk about a young, beautiful woman taking the place of the queen. I think you jumped into the shadow of that, which is Daenerys, whereas the forefront in Cersei's mind right now is actually Margaery.
Right.
Absolutely.
And her interpretation of that prediction, foresight, whatever, is Margaery. The audience, of course, is like, but is it Margaery?
Oh.
I think we have someone else.
That's a great
point.
We
also have another open question about women in this episode, coming from, obviously, Varys, who also mentions a woman. His is very poignantly pointed at Daenerys, but who knows?
Yeah.
The shadow underlying that could be, there are other women. You still got Arya, you still got Sansa, you still got...
Mm-hmm.
They have these open-ended questions about women in power, but we have a lot of women mm-hmm. who can claim that power. It's just we have to see where the story goes.
Yeah, especially since, I mean, we all know the show, it loves to take left turns on us and right mm-hmm. turns and go backwards a little bit and then, like, jump ahead and do something. So the obvious answer for us as audience members is, of course, Dany. Mm-hmm. But like you said, there's so many women who, even if Dany ends up on the Iron Throne, who could potentially get there before her, or if not that, it's possible that they could kill her tomorrow. They could kill her next week. Please don't. Please don't. You know how I love her. But, you know, they could kill her next week. That's just the way the show goes. Nobody is safe. And the other thing I wanted to point out is later, when Cersei looks at Margaery and, like, is giving her death glares. Obviously, Margaery's not reciprocating the look, but she's looking at her, like, flirting with her son, just, like, glaring. Mm-hmm. And I didn't make the connection, but of course it would be Margaery mm-hmm. in her head. The young, beautiful woman who would usurp her throne.
Well, Cersei's a very what's right in front of me right now. And right now, Margaery is right in front of her.
Very much so.
Which is ironic, because that's what she tells her brother. She tells her brother that he's compulsive. Mm. Her whole speech to Jaime is like, you don't think about what your actions will cause. And I'm like, yes, this woman plots, but she is also extremely, like, have these visceral reactions to things when
she's
anyone
a hothead.
Goes near her family. So as much as she does plan and she's a brilliant woman, she can't claim that she never acts out of instinct.
I think her biggest weakness is that she doesn't see beyond herself.
Yeah.
So she makes everything about her.
Certainly.
Yeah, or at least her children. But then I think that goes back to her, I suppose. I loved the line, gold will be their crowns, gold their shrouds, by the witch. And that just, that leads me to believe, what if they all go down? Are they all going to go down, all of the kids?
All the kids? Like all of Cersei's kids?
Yes, all of Cersei's kids.
Well, she's got, right now she's got Tommen, who we saw recast, I believe, for a short second.
I think that was him.
I think that was him. We got a crown. Who else is allowed to wear a crown?
Right.
And we've got Marcella, who is down in Dorne at the moment.
Right.
So we've got two left. Yep.
Because she says crowns and shrouds, so it's plural. It wasn't one. So I feel like at least one of them is going to go again.
Oh, it has to be.
Right?
Has to be. This is Game of Thrones we're talking about.
And we're in King's Landing now, which is just shrouded with death in general.
So dead Lannisters brings us back to the present here, where we have Tywin Lannister, we have his funeral. And Cersei, everybody's come from far and wide around Westeros the crazy eye rocks.
Were those White necessary?
They have them always, though, and every time I'm surprised that they're there.
This one was painfully, like, weird, though.
Very they look goofy. Great on them. It's like when people cook
they
those just, googly
like, so
eyes.
Bright blue.
Yeah, maybe a little
marker-ish.
Less color correction on those.
Oh, right, all right.
Little bit of the fade filter.
Crazy eyes. Crazy eyes.
It's Valencia.
So she walks into the funeral here. And Jaime is keeping watch over the body, and they have this argument.
Time.
And Jaime is feeling a bit guilty, and Cersei doesn't help with that fact.
She's not exactly the most.
I liked what she said about at least our other brother killed him on purpose, because it is kind of Jaime's fault, absolutely. So it's like you can't deny that it's Jaime's fault. I mean, he didn't put the arrow in his father, but
he didn't send him up those stairs.
I mean, Kristen, you're completely right, and, like, part of me agrees with you that you liked it, because there was, like, a justification where she was placing the blame on someone who I think deserves a little bit of the blame. But at the same time, I couldn't help but thinking, like, hey, weren't you, like, last time we saw you telling your father to, like, F off?
Yep.
Yeah.
You were like, actually, I'm never going to do anything you want because you're a horrible person. I'm going to go sleep with my brother. And now you, like, completely love him again, mm-hmm. and it's your brother's fault, and you've totally switched allegiances over, like, a death. So, like, more important to than your father or your brother lover is mm-hmm. actually your brother who you hate. Like,
that being said,
really
a death
messed up logic.
Mm. At the end of the day, death can, if anything's going to make you switch sides really quickly, normally we like to be fond of the dead, if you will. Once people die, we start remembering all the things we love about them. So I guess it's
great
one
point.
Of those, like, Dad, you know, you wouldn't let me sleep with my brother, but you had your moments where I loved you. More importantly, I think it's also probably more that she doesn't feel safe, and she doesn't feel that mm-hmm. her kids are safe. Mm-hmm. And she's basically asking Jaime, you have to step up.
Yeah.
Well, Jamie was kind of excited. He was like, he built this for us. And she's all like, it's your fault.
She's like, someone needs to be unhappy.
It's so terrible.
Besides
because
me and my inner cruel heart.
The last scene we saw Cersei and Tywin, like you were saying, she was trying to completely ruin him. Mm-hmm. She was, in essence, killing him socially.
Yeah, good point.
And then Jamie actually, you know, helps, in a way, physically kill him. And he's the wrong one and she's the right one, right?
Really, if you look at it, like, Tywin's death is probably one of my favorite deaths in the whole series because everything he stood for was ripped apart from him so slowly. Like, you did have his daughter, like, force this information down his throat. You did have the Golden Sun make a mistake. And then, of course, you had him murdered with a crossbow on the toilet. Like,
by the son that he hates.
Yes, just, like, humiliation and things ripped from him, like, just slowly throughout the day. And then, like, all these just, hit, like, side factors of knowing that Jaime is also partially tied into this. He really was destroyed by his family.
I mean, at the end of the day, Tywin died because of his shortcomings as a father in from all the children, really.
Like, take note, everybody. Yeah. Being parents. You never know who's going to stick across the row through your heart.
But Tywin's death is really interesting because he was a very strong figure that was, in a way, he was kind of keeping the realm together. He was a powerhouse. Not all of it, obviously, this battling, but he was really this potent force that nobody wanted to mess with. Mm-hmm. And now we get that during the scene between Jaime and Cersei, where Jaime is instantly worried that now that their strong father Tywin is dead, that their enemies are all going to come after them.
Right.
And they have no way to protect themselves.
I think her fear is well placed for, like, the fear of her family. And I'm one of those people who looks a little bit too much into the intro. And
not at all.
I'll have to rewatch it again and compare it to last season's. But, like, I didn't notice a whole lot of golden lions as we were zooming through, like, the swords and the shields and the places. We saw a lot of King's Landing. We're focused on it twice in the intro. But there wasn't a lot of golden lions. Or, like, I remember in one of the intros, there's a golden lion killing a stag. Like, that seemed to be in the background. Mm. So how is the Lannister family doing? Like, we could talk about Tyrion, but he's even stripped himself of the Lannister clothes. There's no red, there's no golden lions present there. So he could technically be powerful without, like, the Lannisters really seeming like the powerful force.
I mean, he basically has disowned himself. He says, am I really a lord? I killed my father.
Yeah.
But we'll get to him.
Yeah, who do you have left? I mean, Cersei is technically a Baratheon, in a way. And her children are Baratheon, as far as the public knows. Jaime's a White Knight. He's a King's Guard. He can't hold land. He can't get married. Tyrion is gone. We'll find out all about Lance in a little bit. But then we've got, I mean, there's Kevin left, and we don't really know Kevin in the show very well, who's Tywin's brother. And he doesn't make an appearance, so.
Yeah, can we talk about Lancel? That was so weird.
That was strange, right? Am I the only person who thought, I guess not, that was really strange?
And I'm trying to remember how he was important to the story in years past. Can you guys refresh me?
Oh, he let it out right there. He talked, the secrets about how Cersei plotted Robert's death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how does he know that, though? I don't...
Well, if you remember, he was the kind of a little bit of a pawn for a while because he had been having sex with Cersei. And then, of course, Tyrion found out and then tried to gain control of him and was like, I know what you're doing with my sister, and I'm going to tell, I believe, my brother about it, and then he's going to kick your ass because he loves her, blah, blah, blah. So power control over this guy. But he was the one who was present when Robert died.
Yes.
So he also knows about the wine. I can't remember is why he left.
I'm sure that Cersei got him out of King's Landing, from what he know. But correct me if I'm wrong. Where are our public viewers here?
They can call in.
There is a... They call in?
They can call in at 424-256-1729. Again, you guys, you can call us at 424-256-1729.
So call me in and let me know. Was Lancel Lannister Robert's squire?
Yes.
Is that why he was with him and he was the one filling his wine cup over and over and over and over again to excess? So
yes,
he knows all that's going on.
He's got some juicy secrets, but now he's joined something called
the Sparrows.
The Sparrows.
And they find peace in
Light
the Seven.
Of the Seven.
Yeah. How many new cults do we need?
I'm excited about this one. I mean, basically he's like monks, right? He's purely detached himself from, like, gold, and now he's just, like, living.
And shoes in very nasty King's Landing.
Yeah.
That's unsanitary.
There are a lot of unsanitary moments in
it's
this show.
It's not the cleanest place in the world. Come on. It's nasty.
Yeah, the knife at the beginning, that can't be sanitary.
Why is he back, though? Just because he knows all these secrets and...
Well, now he has this, I don't know if you guys know any people who have gone overnight, like, very religious in a way. They come and they feel like it's their job, or I don't want to say this in a bad way, but they often feel like they should, they need to help others who are not, in a way. Mm-hmm. And I've had family members that have gone off and come back, and they feel like they want to help me in that way. And I feel like he's doing that for Cersei.
Gotcha, that makes sense.
Also, like, the show has been dominated... really by one religion, which is the Lord of Light. Mm-hmm. And it has not only just become a ceiling that people, like, look to or whatever. It is a driving force in the plot.
Yes.
And now, who knows if it's going to be the Sparrows? Who knows if it's going to be believing the old god, believing in the children who we have north of the wall? Mm-hmm. But now we can see these different religions maybe headbutt. And these different belief systems. And if we're going to have something, we need something to counter the Red Woman and the Lord of Light.
Mm-hmm. Right, of course. Of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've had... It's interesting the role that kind of cults and religions play in this series. Because they're very... I mean, they get specific, but for the most part, you don't know too much about the specifics of all of these kind of belief systems. You just know that they... you have the Red Woman, you have people talking about the old gods and the new, which, I mean, this is something I don't know too much about when it comes to the series, the difference between the two of them, really. And then, I guess, my question is, the Targaryens, where do they stand?
Light of the Seven.
They are Light of the Seven.
I believe so.
Maybe our caller knows.
Maybe
yeah,
our caller
absolutely,
knows.
We have a caller. Kristen, you.
Caller, what's your name? Where are you from? Hello, caller. What's your name? Where are you from?
Hello.
Hello. Yes, Robert? You're on air with AfterBuzz TV.
You were asking about Lancel Lannister.
Yes, I was.
Yeah, he's Robert Flair.
Aha! Yes, thank you very much.
Do you know why he left?
Huh?
Do you know why he left?
I think we lost him.
We lost him. Maybe he didn't know.
We have
Squire confirmation.
Yes.
The people
Thank
are
you,
listening,
Thank
Kyle.
Thank you very much.
If you ask a question, they're going to call and tell us.
Like
Thank
but
you for calling in.
If they are,
I believe so. It's Light of the Seven, especially because King's Landing has the giant sept,
which
is for Light of the Seven. So that's what leads me to assume that they are part of that religion. Also, it's said in season, like, one or season two that most people, other than in the north, are in Light of the Seven.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Those are where less of the weirwood trees have been chopped down.
Right,
and the
weirwood
trees are in reference to the old gods.
Right.
So... Okay. Because they have, like, the faces that you can talk to.
That's right. That's my job. The only reason I bring that up, and I wanted to confirm that...
I think.
As much as I can.
I think so.
And, I could be wrong. I'm sorry.
We will find out. And let us know that confirmation. But if that is the case, then you're, of course, going to see a clash if the Targaryens, which they're going... Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. They're going to. We're going to see them meet in the middle, because Dany's gearing up to go.
But does Dany have a religion?
Well, if she is part of the Targaryen clan, then
yeah,
even if she
would go with the Seven,
but
I assume,
she's separated since like birth.
But just because she doesn't necessarily follow the religion, doesn't mean that she won't
accept it.
And all, because if it's the religion of the people that she is ruling, it would make sense that she, if she doesn't promote it, she at least kind of
allows it
and accepts it. And so you're going to see that clash, absolutely.
Hmm. Were you guys interested in Loras at all? Loras and Margaery. They didn't do too much, but we get Margaery's plotting a little something.
I love the sexual tension.
I know.
That was weird.
That's great.
There you go.
I thought they were going to have a threesome. They hinted about that a long time ago. And I was like, maybe it'll happen here.
Yeah.
At one point, probably. Let's be honest.
They've now teased it twice for a
We're just going to be like, up and here it is. Okay, there it is. Applause.
But we get the marriage is still on between Loras and Cersei.
But he doesn't feel like it's going to happen.
Yeah, but he wants it more than Margaery does.
Margaery
in a way, because he wants to get her out of there for his sister.
I don't think he necessarily wants to marry her, but I think he was kind of making the point to her.
Yep.
Like, oh, really? You don't want me to marry her? Because if I do, then she gets to get out of here. I think it was more of a pushing his sister's buttons, almost.
Yeah.
I think it's just funny that he operates with I don't care, I'm in King's Landing, I'm going to have no secrets, which is, like, very different. The only person we've seen anywhere close to that was probably Ned Stark, because he was just like, everyone knows my business, I'm not going to hide anything.
It's King's noble.
Landing. Might as well just spill it all out there. I mean,
but it didn't really end up too well.
And it may not for Loras.
All right. Well,
we'll find out.
Well, let's leave King's Landing and let's head over to Pentos with everyone's favorite father killer. No.
no, he's my favorite father killer of all times.
Go.
Absolutely. Stand firmly behind
Tyrion and Varys. They are at Illyrio Mopatta's house over in Pentos. And he's finally getting out of the box. That we have this disgusting story about what he's been doing.
I just heard, out of the box.
Out of the box. Wow. TBT.
Yeah. Sorry.
So he's finally freed from this little prison. And right away we get all this stuff from Varys about how he's a Targaryen supporter. Did we know this already in the show?
I mean, I think that's why he was spying on her. All those years, and why he sent Jorah to spy on her. Oh, we have another caller.
No, we do.
We do. Caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
Hello.
Hello. Hello, caller. What's your name? Where are you from?
O'Neill, New Jersey.
Thanks for calling in, O'Neill. Did you have a comment or question, or were you calling to confirm the Seven was the Targaryen religion?
Oh, I was just calling about Lancel and why he left.
Thank you.
I can call about talk about the Seven also.
There you go.
What's up with Lancel? Let us know.
All right. Am I on?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He left because he was injured during the Blackwater. He was really injured, almost dying. And I guess he went home to eat heal.
Thank you.
Nice. And she made that comment about your wounds have healed.
That's right. And she had the scratch in his face. That's right.
And then what about the Seven? Is the Seven the Targaryen religion? Do you know?
Yeah, they adopted the Seven after Aegon the Conqueror came over, and he wanted to assimilate to the religion of the Seven Kingdom.
Oh, that's right.
There we go.
Thank you.
That was exactly what you thought Daenerys would do. Assimilate.
Yeah. Bam. Thanks, O'Neill. Great. You are just our regular expert for the evening, and I'm sure we'll have other questions. Maybe you can call us back later.
I listen to Kyle on his back podcast.
Oh, hey,
so
thank you so much.
And all that. I'm a big fan.
Awesome. Thank you so much, O'Neill. That's great to hear. Thank you. Appreciate that.
All right. Take care.
Awesome.
Thanks
care.
Thanks for calling, O'Neill.
You got fans.
Neil flattered me there.
Well, you should mention
wine.
You host podcast.
I do a podcast of Ice and Fire, and we're a podcast all about the books. So if you're just watching the show, I can't recommend you listen because it's spoiler filled.
But you also do the recaps every week, which I watch, and they're hilarious.
We do. If you look for me at Matt Gennard on YouTube, I do these goofy, funny little recaps of every episode. So check it out.
Yeah. All right.
And now he's our host at AfterBuzz TV.
And now back to Pentos.
And you won't be leaving.
Thank you. So, what were we saying? Varys is openly supporting the Targaryens now.
Yes.
We had that little talk with Tyrion about how they need this ruler and everything. It's a him. No. Who said that? It's a her. Let's go see Daenerys.
And, it's like a little trip.
Yeah, it seems pretty straightforward, their scenes.
Yeah,
was there any hidden moments in there or anything?
There was a nice moment Nice. I love the future is shit, just like the past. Mm-hmm. There's no significant secret to that. I just... I enjoyed that moment.
There is. It's called creating a good TV show that will actually allow you to have some comic relief with very serious conversations, which is one of the reasons this show is so good, because they covered so many places today. They covered so many people. All we're talking about is death and burning people and power and maybe getting eaten by your own dragons. And
you need, I laughed out loud several times.
You need moments to talk about shit.
Yeah, I was guffawing. Once in a while. Like, I think you said that. I mean, maybe I'm just really terrible. But I'm like,
well, something that echoed his the past is the shit and the future is shit is the fact that he kept drinking and puking and then drinking again. So it's like his past is shit and his future is going to be shit if he keeps on.
I felt like I was in a frat house.
What I don't understand is how Varys thinks that Tyrion can maybe help guide Daenerys. Is that why he wants them to join up? Because she needs a true guide?
I mean, he's brilliant. Mm-hmm. He has insights to the Lannisters and King's Landing that no one else really has. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Mm-hmm. And he could absolutely provide a very stable understanding and kind of the book side that she doesn't possess right now, especially now that she's kind of been...
So is he her missing link to the throne?
He would have to do it from the shadows, in a way. Because if she came over to Westeros with this guy who killed his own father...
He'd have to Cyrano the hell out of it.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Like, totally be under wraps.
He'd be in the bushes the whole time.
But he could totally do that.
Yeah.
He could just sit in the crate and be like... through the shithole, just be like, hey...
They're making the wrong choice! I think, though, that there's also the brains to this, where, like... You look at Varys and you look at the relationship he's had and the closest people he's ever had to friends, and they're never, like, friendly. Like, you look at... He has kind of had this slight friendship with Tyrion, whether it was when he tried to save Shay. And, like, for instance, like, who would you consider Varys' closest friend?
Illyrio.
Well, yes, he's sitting
here. That's a good point. Wow. All right, he's got one friend.
But... Exactly. He needs allies, too. Like, I think you need to surround yourself with people of power. He doesn't know what's going to happen at home with the Lannister family. Tyrion might have killed his father, but he still has a powerful name. He still, at one point, was, like, the voice of Hand of the King. Like, the public knows who he is. If you're putting together people and you really want peace, if that's his true goal... If he wants to be part of this power, then he might need to start creating friendships. He might need to start creating relationships.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I think that he is creating friendships just by helping the right people out. And regardless of whether or not it's just for selfish reasons or because his motive legitimately is for the good of the country, he is placing, at least for me, my two favorite characters together. So I am like teen... Dany plus Tyrion right now.
So what's that ship called?
What is that ship called? Awesome. Team
Dany and Tyrion.
Team Awesome.
Deuterian.
No, that just sounds too much like deteriorate, and I don't like the odds of that.
Okay, we'll try Tyrion first. Tyrion. Tanny. How about Tanny? Tyrion and Dany.
Sounds like a Valley Girl name.
Do you think it's going to be that easy for him to just... get over there with Varys and
no, nothing
get in front of Daenerys.
I mean, like Sarah
nothing
was saying, what are they going to do? Just walk in and be like, hey!
Yeah, what are the challenges that
Daenerys
are in front
has
of them?
Trust issues.
I don't blame her.
I mean, maybe they can just ride in on Drogon's back.
And here's the...
He probably knows how to control the dragons. Is that what you're going to say?
They're some of the smartest people in King's Landing, and they've read every book.
Oh, he has read every book about
so
dragons.
So he knows how to... he knows how to ride the fucking dragons!
Oh, is he going to teach Daenerys how to train your dragon?
How to train your dragon.
I got real excited. Wow. He's seen the movie.
This was the book that the movie was probably originated on
Definitely.
That he read.
Who knows?
Fan theory.
We've got some really smart people, and we have Daenerys, who does have one problem. Untamely.
She's three, actually.
Yes, three dragons. But okay, here's Tyrion. Ba-ba-da-da-da, comes up to Daenerys. Hey, who's this guy? He's a Lannister.
They don't have to say that.
He's an ex-Lannister.
Barristan. Barristan is there. He knows who Tyrion is.
But Tyrion killed his father.
Yes, but they also, the Lannister family killed her niece and her nephew and her father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, yeah, that's going to be a tough sell.
There's going to have to be.
That's going to be a tough sell. He killed his father, and his siblings hate him.
Siblings. That's true.
Well, here's what I think might happen is, you know, they'll probably be taken in chains to Daenerys, but then there'll be that conversation from the bottom of the stairs to her at the top of the throne.
and he's going to look down with those eyes. He's going to look with those knowing eyes and just be like, you want to trust me. And she's going to look down at him for a moment, and then it'll pan back to him, and then it'll pan back to her. Well, and then there'll be a deal.
Yeah, and he's going to provide knowledge that she absolutely needs how to raise her children.
This is a prediction, guys.
Prediction.
But, sorry,
prediction.
I just like got so into it, and I normally don't swear or anything.
I got that with you.
10 minutes.
Well, I felt it.
We're already talking about Daenerys, so yeah. let's do it.
Jump. It's Marine.
There we go, yeah.
Here we go.
Marine. I mean, we were talking about Tyrion heading over there, so...
What a gruesome scene. The opening one.
Ooh, with the Unsullied. The Unsullied whose name we didn't know at the time, but White Rat, I believe.
Yes, yes. White Rat.
Wait, that's what terrified you guys? The Unsullied scene? I was terrified by the Fallen Angel thing.
Oh, the Harpy. Yeah.
Going straight down. Like, I was like...
What was that about?
I felt like it was a conquering of, like, Meereen and, like, taking down its idols or something. But to me, it was like, you have a very beautiful statue, all in gold, standing at the top of a pyramid that's now crashing to the feet of something else. I was like, is this a good symbol for her conquering, or is this a bad symbol for, like, maybe things not going so well?
Well, she's starting to have a little bit of unrest. There's some problems in... the paradise that is Meereen.
It just felt like it was like a falling angel. Like it was like,
oh, yeah.
It just like struck me as like very brutal and like
it was
tragic. Even though I understand that it was maybe supposed to be a good thing for Meereen.
Yeah.
But the lighting suggested otherwise.
Sound and it rattling and like crashing uncontrollably. Like
it was very out with
really
the old, in
me.
With the new. Which
but,
echoes
but not
again.
In a, like, not in a like happy way. It was just like, damn, things
well, I don't
are
know. The
down.
Harpy was the symbol of oppression and slavery. And to tear that down, I think, is a great thing.
So maybe we just didn't know what it stood for. Because it looked like a good symbol.
Or maybe it has a dual meaning.
Yeah, they didn't explain that in the show. But I really want to talk about the killer with a mask. Because that was like a badass killer. Like, was that the son of Harpy? Is that what they're called?
He was one of the sons of the Harpy, yeah.
Sons of the Harpy.
I don't know what that is, but I'm terrified of them.
There you go.
Did anyone get like the 300?
The
killers who can never die. Immortal.
Yeah.
Yes. Immortals. Like, I was like, it's almost the same mask, but they colored it gold.
Same prop house.
It was creepy to begin with, because he goes into a brothel and is like, same as usual, and she gets naked. He's like, you don't have to do that. And then she's like cuddling him.
She's about to cuddle.
And petting him and humming. Like, this is. I want to go to this brothel.
It's just comforting there.
Some guys just want to cuddle. Okay?
Like, for those of you who haven't been to brothels, I mean, that's basically what they do there.
Thank you, Chris. I'm just kidding. Our resident brothel expert.
That's all they do in brothels. Okay.
They just cuddle and sing to you. Really?
I would go to a cuddle singing brothel. I think I would.
Yeah.
I'd pay good money to be cuddled and sung to. Why not?
It was beautiful. It was kind of a beautiful moment. And later on, when Missandei goes to Grey Worm, we get, do you know why he did this? And I feel like Grey Worm knew, and he just didn't want to say anything. He's been cuddling.
Well, okay. What I'm confused about, like... Grey Worm's not really coming clean about whether they have parts or not. And that's clearly the question she's asking is, you know, why would he go there if he doesn't have the parts to perform the task? So yeah. I'm still not sure what Unsullied mean, and we haven't really got a clear answer yet.
No.
Didn't?
We're not sure.
Well, we're supposed to. They're not supposed to have the parts, but we just haven't seen proof that they don't.
We haven't seen the full-on proof, but can we see the full-on proof? Is HBO
I think
that?
In this,
well, not if it's gone.
I think
maybe nothing to see here. Is that what you're telling me?
We could have a clearer answer, because as of now, we don't know that they can. Like, we don't know if they can or can't. We have, like, one guy who seemed to want some sort of cuddle figure, but he was being flashed by multiple people, so maybe it's up in the air.
Well, I just don't. Can you guys just give me an idea why you think they killed him?
Yes, if they are. Oh, goodness. I think
We gotta
wrap up Saturn real quick, but I think that we were told we could go a little bit long today. So we'll check in with that. But going back then too, who knows what these people are doing except for revolting and causing Daenerys more trouble, just like she had trouble in another city, but supposedly what's-his-name went and fixed that.
Thank you.
Well, there we go.
I got it. Okay.
Moving on, they're having sexual intercourse there, and something about fighting pits.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yes. Yeah, that whole speech, which, by the way, I was just kind of watching going, wow, I really, really love this. The fact that that whole speech about how he was sold into slavery, his mother sold him into slavery, and then he rose to fame.
You mean the plot from Gladiator?
Yep.
Yes, pretty much. Pretty much, I guess.
Yes.
300 Gladiator, Game of Thrones.
So now Daenerys has to decide if she's going to reopen them.
Who wants the pits?
I want the pits. I love Gladiator. Come on.
It's just gonna lead to some awesome scenery. So I'm not saying I condone this in real life.
No.
But for the sake of this show.
And TV.
I want the pits.
There we go.
Yes.
So let's quickly, I guess, head over to the Wall and Jon Snow. And we got there we go.
A round of applause for
Jon Snow. Very nice. So, the big moment here is that Stannis offers the wildlings a chance to come south of the Wall, join his army to help root out Roose Bolton from Winterfell and everything, and he will give them land and he'll give them places and he'll welcome them in without, you know, killing them because they're wildlings.
Yes.
So that's a big thing, and that's the offer that Jon Snow has to give to Mance Rayder.
Yes. And all Mance has to do is kneel. And what did you guys think about that? Quickly, I know we're running out of time. Should have he kneeled?
I think that he was right. I don't think he could kneel, especially when they kept turning the camera to Giantsbane, and you could see that steadfast look of like, we're with you. I think that there was just this powerful acknowledgement between Mance and between Stannis that it was like, we were kind of talking about it, where they're both kind of like, we kind of respect and like each other. But this relationship is not going to work out, and it's one of us has to die.
Yes, it's purely business, and I really would love to get a beer with you sometime, but I kind of have to burn you at the stake.
So I can take all your friends.
Don't take it personally. It's just, it's business. I'm sure we'd get along in another
but
life.
But now that he's gone, that opens up the leader for the Wildlings, which, I mean, I kind of felt like, can we just talk about it, after Jon shoots Mance with the arrow and puts him out of his pain, I just felt like at that point, maybe there's not a place for him at the Wall, and he should go lead the Wildlings.
I would be so down to see Jon Snow leading the Wildlings. Will they accept him? It would take some serious...
Well,
I think this helps.
This helps. This will gain him respect.
Well, there was a throwaway line that was very easy to miss in this, where we find out Sir Alistair's back, and then he walks by, and I think it's Sam Tarly. He says, Sir Alistair is in the running.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And that leads me to think, what's he talking about? What's going on?
I don't think the Wildlings would accept Sir Alistair as their leader. No.
Well,
obviously.
I don't think they were talking about Wildlings, but
they were talking about last season how there is an election because Alistair was the acting commander, but he was never like voted in, and that was one of the reasons they sent Jon Snow back to get Craster's Keep because they were plotting to kill him. They wanted him to fail. They wanted him to die so that people wouldn't rally around him whenever this said election would happen.
There we go.
So I think in the running, that's what they're talking about, electing the new commander of the Night's Watch, because Alistair Thorne is just acting commander. So I think that might be the running they're talking about.
Who was the commander?
That's what I took it
Mormont.
To be.
Jorah's dad.
Yeah, and everything's been so crazy since his death, they haven't had a chance to elect a new one.
I think that's important to point out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just kind of, I mentioned this before filming, that every time Jon Snow does something noble and wonderful, my heart melts for him a little. I was not an original... Like, I always liked Jon Snow. I was not one of the people who swooned for him originally. He's winning me over.
Yeah.
He is. He's winning me over little by little. I'm swooning a little bit. Maybe it's because I'm an archer and that was a damn good shot. But that was nice.
He learned from
my heart.
He learned from Ollie.
I've got three things to say. I've got, number one, I'm totally on board for Jon Snow. It's so much fun to have a character where you're like, please do this, and then someone does it. And right before Mance let out a scream or something, I was like, yes, perfect timing. Number two, intro thing. I mean, last season we saw Winterfell up in smoke. Finally, we have it taken over. It looks a little bit rebuilt, except that there's a flayed man on it, but the Weirwood's still there. I'm like, hopefully not. I think I give it 3 episodes and it's up in smoke again. But who knows?
Predictions. That goes under predictions.
Yeah. Well, Stannis says he's going... Yeah, we're basically in predictions, but Stannis says that he is going to attack Roose, and he's going to put his head on a stake. So I think that's likely what's going to happen.
Yeah, and I think the third thing we want to remember is what... And this is probably going to lead into predictions. We have another person who was witness to the burning, or arrow murder, however you want to title it, the little princess.
Oh,
who
yeah,
they were making a very specific, multiple reaction shots of.
Shireen.
And her crazy mama.
Crazy mama who's just like smiling.
She loves people burning.
That two shot that just kept happening.
Mm-hmm. It's a good
We have to remember that... the Red Woman plots. She tried to plot with Jon, I'm a virgin. Who knows how that impacts. And she also has said that we need to bring the little princess with us because she has an important role to play, too.
Oh.
So these things are probably going to... She's there. Might happen this season. Let's find out.
One thing we did not talk about really quickly, and how did we not in Marine, we didn't talk about the dragons. We didn't talk about the fact that she goes into the dragon pit.
They
are just not having it. Nope. They are just, like, rebelling like hell against Mama.
Which I think is why we need Tyrion.
She put them in the catacombs.
I'm not saying that it is a warranted rebellion. They're lashing out a bit because their mother's a bit abusive and, you know, locking them in a basement, and that's not okay. I do not condone that behavior.
Well, I think she figured it out she didn't figure it out, but she found out that she doesn't have any control over him at the moment. She doesn't know what to do.
And what about Robin? What about Robin? Is he a threat?
Oh yeah, we didn't talk about them, did we? We didn't talk about.
We can just talk about him quickly in our predictions. Like, what's happening with Robin? Is he going to be a threat not anytime soon?
Here we go. How do we get to the prediction? Oh, there we go.
Predictions. And now you're after. Yeah, you guys.
Ooh.
I don't get why they're even taking Robin along, Sansa and Peter Baelish.
They should just kill him.
What do you guys think? Like. I know they said the whole thing about his name, right? Sometimes all you need is a name. So at this point, they're just dragging him along because he's the Lord of Arryn.
This thing, though, what this show has proven is that, yes, we know Robin can't fight. Probably because he was breastfed by his mother for so, so long and then told he couldn't have everything he wanted all the time and never, like, he smacked in the face once by Sansa. But he could have other talents. We really haven't really...
Yeah.
Everyone's against Robin. No one is for him, like, being able to do anything. So part of me wants this underdog thing to happen where he puts some sort of value in some part
Normally, I'm so an underdog person, but he just gets under my skin.
It's not his fault.
Guys, he just needs his Batman,
his
right?
It's how we getting into the psychology of, like, if his mother had just... Hit him once. Just smacked him over the side of the head once.
So nobody likes Robin. What about Sansa? Where's she going?
She doesn't know.
She's going to be the new the new Catelyn, obviously. Like, there's a relationship forming there with Baelish and, like, the fact that he never got to be with her mother, so.
Creepy as hell.
She's going to have some sort of streak in her. I don't know what that streak is. I don't know if it's mean. I don't know if it's just she doesn't trust anyone. But there's a reason why Catelyn said no, and Sansa seems to be saying yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think about Sansa. Think of what she's gone through, and up until now, she's kind of been whining, people's biggest complaints with her, that she's whining, she doesn't do anything, she never does anything. This is the first time, really, we've seen her kind of step up to the plate, so of course she has a streak in her. Everyone she's ever loved has either died, gone away. She knows nothing about anyone, pretty much. She has been traumatized to the nth degree.
There we go. All right. There are our predictions, guys.
She's dressing like a crow now. That's what I like.
Jamie interaction. That Bran Pod Jamie interaction might happen
next week.
Might happen. I know.
Drogon is back.
There you go. Was that Jamie riding towards him?
It looked like it. Yeah.
All right.
And Needle will be in use probably next.
Well, thank you guys so much for watching this episode of AfterBuzz TV Game of Thrones Recap. So we are on iTunes and we're on YouTube, and you should rate and subscribe and comment away. We love to read them and hear them, so definitely get on that. So.
And next Sunday we'll be here again at 7?
Yes.
Yes, we'll be here at 7.
There we go.
Yeah.
And I'm Kristen Elizabeth Snyder. You can follow me at Cinematic Escape.
I'm Sarah Stratton. You can't follow me on Twitter, but please tell us what you want us to do with this show. It's a new season. We love your comments. We want to know what you want to hear from us. So glad to have you all back.
And I'm Autumn Chiklis. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Autumn Chiklis.
Oh, there we go. And I'm Kyle Maddock, and you can find me pretty much anywhere online at Mad Canard, like the duck.
Bye, guys.
Thank you, guys.
People, Kristen.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.